Okay, we're starting Maseches Peah, new Masechta. This Masechta deals with the different gifts that one gives to the poor. Maseches Peah essentially is the Torah's treatment of how to redistribute wealth to deal with poverty in society. It actually entails 13 different mitzvahs, but a lot of overlapping. There are 7 mitzvahs ase, positive mitzvahs, and 6 los ase, negative mitzvahs included in the Masechta. Just a really quick overview for you. There are a total of 8 prakim, 8 chapters in the Masechta. The first several prakim deal with the topic of Peah. That's what the Masechta is named after. Peah means a corner, as in the corner or edge of your field. Just like the corner or edge of your hairline is called the Peah, the Peot, which you don't cut on one's head, a man's head. So Peah is the mitzvah to leave the edge of one's field unharvested. It actually also applies, we'll see, to trees, etc. And in fact, more than that, we'll see that there's not just a lotase, a negative commandment, not to cut to the edge of one's field when he harvests, but also mitzvahs ase, to give fruit from the edge of one's field, or produce from the edge of one's field, to a poor person, which means we'll see inside the Masechta, you could violate the lotase, the isser, the prohibition of harvesting to the edge of your field, and still perform the mitzvahs ase of giving peah. We'll explain more in the Masechta. Then, the 4th and 5th parak deal with leket. Leket is the obligation to leave individual sheaves, 1 or 2 stalks of, let's say, wheat that fall as you're harvesting them. They fall to the ground. You have to leave them for the poor people to come collect them. Then the 5th, 6th, and part of the 7th parak deals with the mitzvah of shicha. Shicha are forgotten sheaves or forgotten bundles of sheaves you leave in the field on accident. You can't go back and get them. Each one of these mitzvahs, Peah, Leket, and Shicha, include both a lo ta'ase, a prohibition, as well as an ase, mitzvah ase. Then the rest of the 7th parak deals with 2 unusual mitzvahs that are unique to vineyards. It's called Peret and Olos. Peret is very much the same as Leket. Leket is the sheaves that are falling when you harvest the wheat crop. Peret is individual berries of grapes as they fall when you're harvesting the grapes. They fall to the ground, 1 or 2, you leave them for the poor people to collect grapes. And olos is the mitzvah to leave certain underdeveloped or unusually developed grape clusters on the vines. And finally, the 8th parak deals with, in general, the principles of tzedakah, as well as the mitzvah of maaser ani, the obligation to leave 1/10 of your produce over and give it to the poor people in certain years. Those would be years 3 and 6 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. I'll hope to explain the Masechta as we go along, but now we begin the Masechta in earnest. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Peah. The Mishnah says, and it's a very familiar Mishnah to you, Elu Devarim She'ein Lehem Shiur. The following list of items are mitzvahs in the Torah that have no shiur, no measurement, no minimum nor a maximum, midoraisa, according to the Torah, although there are mitzvahs here that have limits, either min and or max, midorabban. So here they are. The first is HaPeah, the obligation to leave the edge of one's field. When it comes to Peah, you could leave a single stalk at the edge of your field and fulfill the mitzvah peah, or you could essentially, once you start harvesting, leave the entire rest of your field, meaning just you harvest the first stalk and leave the other 99.99% of your field for peah. That's also peah. Now, leaving for peah actually has at least 2 different halachic consequences. The first would mean if you leave it as peah, so then only an ani, a legally classified poor person, is allowed to take that produce. An ashir, a non-poor person, couldn't take it. As opposed to if you just were mafkir, if you abandoned those stalks, then anyone could take it who wanted. The second thing is, food that's left over as peah is exempt from the other hafrashos, from trumas and maestros. So if something's left over as peah, the ani can collect it, and he doesn't need to take off truma to give to the kohen, or maestro to give to the levi, etc. So by saying there's no shiur, we mean that whatever you leave as peah has legal status of peah, meaning it's limited just to poor people, and the poor people who collect it don't need to tithe it before they consume it. We'll see later that midrabanan, there is a minimum of a 60th. We'll get to that in a moment. The second item on the list is v'habikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits that one must give in Eretz Yisrael of the Shivat Amenim, of the 7 species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised. That's wheat, barley, olives, grapes, figs, dates, and pomegranates. One must set aside some of his first fruits to bring to the Kohen, the Beis HaMikdash. But these first fruits, the Bikurim, there's no Shi'ur Midoraisa, meaning that one can give just 1 grain or 1 pomegranate, or as many as he wants. The Bartunur says in Maseches Bikurim, that there's no Shir Durabban either, but the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Bikurim says that it's 1/60th Durabban like Peah. Next, the Rayon. This means literally, and the being seen or the appearance. It's referring to one of two possible things. Either A, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that three times a year on the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals, one must be seen, must be present in the Azara, every male Jew. As the Pasuk says, Shalosh Pam B'Shana, Yira'eh Kol Zechurcha, three times a year all of your males will be seen. So according to the first pshat, the no shiur for rayon is referring to a person can go as many times on the chag or stay for as long as he wants during the chag in the Azara to be present and sort of bask in the presence of Hashem. But there's no set amount, so 1 second or all of the 7 days is equally allowed. The other pshat is that when one goes to the temple on the three holidays, the three Shalosh Regalim, so he must bring two korbanos. One is called the Olas Re'ia, the holy burnt offering of being seen, the Re'ia, and the other one is Shalmei Chagiga, a Shlamim offering that will be eaten. He'll eat it as part of a celebration on the Yom Tov. So Midoraiso, the second shot is that there's no shear to how much or how little one spends on this Olas Re'ia and Shalmei Chagiga. He could spend as little as he wants on a small little goat, or as much as he wants. He could bring 100 cows to Shlamim or Olus if he wants to. Next on the list is Gimlus Chasadim, acts of kindness. So again, no Shir Midoraisa, minimum or maximum. This could be referring to either acts that one does with his person or with his financial resources, of his guf, that's the person, or his mammon, his financial resources. Again, one could do as much visiting of the sick and escorting of the dead and Achnasas Kalo, as he wants, as little or as much. And similarly, a person could use the financial resources to help as many poor people and yeshivas, etc., as he likes. There's no shir, midoraisa, midorabanan. There is an upper limit on the, at least the financial component. We say if one who wants to be mevazvez, to go and spend lots of money, he may not spend more than 1/5, 20% of his income, because we're afraid he'll get impoverished himself. But that's only a limit midrabanan, and perhaps bisman hazeh for those people who are fabulously wealthy and worth hundreds of millions of dollars, it wouldn't apply, etc. But in any case, finally, the fifth item on the list is v'sal mitorah, the mitzvah of learning Torah. Again, here there's no shiur, there's no set minimum or maximum according to the Torah midoraisa. The pasuk does say v'gisa ba yomam v'laila, you will learn it both morning and night, and that means one has to be koveya itim, has to set a particular time both to learn Torah on the day and the night. But what he learns in that window can be as small or as large as he wants, no set amount. Truth is, even just saying Kriya Shema, he could be Yotzi, etc. But obviously, the more one learns, the more meritorious, the more schar he will get. But there's no set minimum or max amount in terms of Talmud Torah. Now, the second part of the Mishnah has a new thought. Again, I'm sure you know it because it's in our daily davening. Eilu devarim she'adam ochel peroseim bolam hazeh. The following are things that a person literally eats the fruits in this world, but it means a person enjoys the benefits of the mitzvah in the here and now in this world. The keren, but the principle, meaning the essential reward he'll get, is kayamas l'olam haba, it's preserved for him until the world to come. So basically what we're saying is these mitzvahs, one gets the reward in the world to come, like all mitzvahs, but these mitzvahs also one enjoys the benefits, the fruits of his labors in this world. And you'll see the common thread here is all these things are mitzvahs that promote harmony in society. So by making a harmonious society and having good, you know, social relations, a person benefits, of course, because it's a happy, healthy life of well-being in this world as well. So here they are. Kibudah ve'aim, honoring one's father and mother. Obviously, having a good relationship with one's parents is very wonderful and is a great benefit both to parent and child in this world, independent of the fact that there's a reward for fulfilling the mitzvah. Ugmilus chasadim, acts of kindness. Again, the same thing. By doing chesed, one, of course, gets schar, and that karen is kayemis lo, but by doing kindness to others, there's a natural built social net, there's warmth between friends, society, people feel comfortable and happy, and everyone benefits. So again, that's a benefit in this world by living in a society that one can rely on his fellow. V'hava shalom ben anu l'chavero, promoting peace between fellow Jews, literally means bringing peace between man and his fellow. So of course, promoting peace and peaceful relations between people in your society, it means everyone's, of course, that much more happy, and there's more of the harmony in society, and everyone wins. There is a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin where there's a list of six more mitzvahs that are a person is ochel perosem bolam hazeh, but the keren is kemes lo. If you look there, you'll see that all of those mitzvahs essentially are of the same kind of theme of bringing peaceable relations, one to his fellow. That list, I have a mnemonic of the letters of the alphabet, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, He, and Vav. So I'll share that with you right now. So Aleph is for Orchim, Hachnas is Orchim. Beis is for Bikur Cholim. Gimel is for being Migadel, raising your children in Torah. Dalet is Dan Lechavschus, judging your fellow favorably. He is Hachnas is Kala, providing for women to get married. And Vav is Vi'iyun Tfila, investing in one's prayers. All those things one benefits from in this world, even though the Karen is the reward for the mitzvah itself, is Kayamas Lo Lolam Haba, is preserved to the world to come. And finally, the Mishnah ends by saying, V'salmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The study of Torah is Keneged Kulam. It's equal to all of them, these other things. That is to say, as many Rishonim describe it, if you put Talmud Torah on one side of a pan balance, these other mitzvahs on the other side, Talmud Torah would weigh out equally to them. It's shakul keneged kulam. The idea being, says the Rambam and Tosfos Yontov as well, that the idea is that Talmud Torah enables you and informs you on how to perform these mitzvahs properly. And of course, without that proper understanding and the paradigm of how to perform these mitzvahs, of course, they're not worth what they could be. And therefore, by Talmud Torah, it will inform you on how to do the mitzvahs as they ought to be done. And therefore, of course, that means that the Talmud Torah, the study of the Torah, is equally important and equal weight to the performance of the mitzvahs themselves.